Welcome, viewers. Welcome, Naish. Welcome, everybody, to Wicked Empire, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition campaign in an original world I created. I'm the god of this world. Hello, my name is Jared Logan, and I will be your dungeon master for today. And I don't think I'm overstating when I say that we have collected the best party of players we possibly could have hoped for. These guys are going to make our jaws drop the entire time. I love playing with these folks. I'm going to introduce them, and I'm going to introduce a little bit about our campaign. This campaign, as I said, is based on an original world that we've kind of put together, and you'll learn more about it as we go along. But I based this campaign heavily on my favorite action movie. So I'll start with my good buddy, incredible role player and improviser, Ross Bryant. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jared. It's great to see you.
And what is your favorite action movie, Ross?
Man, the first thing that popped into my head when you mentioned that was this. I kind of like the really kind of gonzo and crazy ones. And there's one I remember really digging called Master of Flying Guillotine.
Yes, the Master of the Flying Guillotine.
Master of the Flying Guillotine, which is about a guy seeking revenge with a very unique weapon, which is basically like a little umbrella on a chain that he throws around people's heads that decapitates them.
Yes.
And it's very sampled by Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, it's excellent. I know that one. There's a couple Flying Guillotine movies. Mm-hmm. Be sure to check out the entire saga.
Run the series.
Yeah, one of them's on Netflix right now. I don't know if it still is when you're watching this, but it was at the time. Okay, great answer. And Ross, we'll learn more about your character when we get into this. But I'm going to go ahead around the circle here and talk to. She is just a stellar role player you've seen on everything. And we want to see her on more stuff. Nora Ibrahim, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. I missed you guys. Claire, this will be the first time role playing with you, so I'm super excited. But I'm glad to be back here with all of you.
Yeah, we're so happy to be playing a game with you again because you bring it so hard, and your characters got me really excited too. You had a really cool idea for your character. But what's your favorite action movie? Do you have a favorite action movie or series?
I have like what I consider my favorite, but then I also have the thing that first popped into my head because I think it's the first thing, it's the one that I watched the most growing up.
Great.
And that, the one I watched the most is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So I think
yeah.
I'm going to stick with that first one that popped into my head.
Last Crusade has that fight on top of the moving tank.
Yes.
That... Pardon me. I hope this is appropriate. That fight makes my nipples hard. So, so good.
So many great lines in that movie. So many great fight scenes.
Hopefully there's a little Indiana Jones. I know there's plenty of flying guillotine in this game, but I hope there's a little Indiana Jones in there too. I think there is. Let's move on to our next player. She is a Glass Cannon regular, and I first got to play with her on the new game Who Dis Vampire stream where your character was so fantastic and so weird and so real. Please welcome Sydney Emmanuel, everybody.
Thank you so much, Jared. And Nora was there, too. And that was my first time playing with you guys. That was a blast.
Yes, we all love to pretend to be vampires when we're not pretending to be, you know, dragon slayers and whatnot. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're ready.
It's funny you brought up vampires because I think for, like, action movies, I only have guilty pleasure action movies. And that would be the Resident Evil movies and the Underworld movies. So I think those are just like they're always on TV and I will always watch them. I'll just keep it on.
They really are so... I love the Resident Evil movies. Underworld, I know a little less, but like, oh my God, you can just like turn to any point in it and just watch.
And if you watch, I think what's really cool is the behind the scenes stuff to just see like the wire rigs and the stunt performers and how long you know those scenes take. And then the movie comes out and it's like so goddamn impressive. So I think those are top for me.
And they bring some of that Wuja stuff, that sort of martial arts stuff with the wires, like you say, into like modern, like shooting with 245s at a time. It's totally. Very, very fun. Okay, finally, I've been friends with this actress since, I don't know, for 20 years. She's fantastic. I love to get her on every game I play. Claire Grant, everybody.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome, Claire. Claire, I know you like action movies. I do.
Yeah, they're actually my favorite movies. I mean, Last Crusade is in my top five movies of all times.
Yay.
And I've probably watched it like 1,000 times. But when I think of action movies, I definitely think of watching them with my mom growing up, because they were the only movies that she would watch with me. She's not a movie person. She hated them, but she loved Die Hard and she loved Lethal Weapon. And hell so yeah. Like, those were the movies that I grew up on watching, the in Jean-Claude Van Damme movies. But nice. I think like for me, my go-to number one action movie will always be Die Hard.
I mean, it's
solid.
It's the gold standard. It's, yeah, it's, you know, it's the one by which all others are judged. Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho. Love some Die Hard. So players, as we go through the game, I will do my best to sort of evoke some of these kind of things tonally. Yeah, but with, you know, a Dungeons and Dragons spin. And however you can kind of get that vibe in there, too. Feel free, you know, if you're inspired by any of that stuff. Are we ready to play Wicked Empire?
Yes.
Do it.
Great. Oh, yeah. Let's do it, everybody. Let's talk about the Lost Empire of Mu. It is a sovereign state covering most of the continent. It's administered by a complex imperial bureaucracy. To the west of the Happy Provinces, the kingdoms that were annexed by the Empire of Mu, past the western wall, you get into a rugged territory known as the Hundred Blood Expanse. The Hundred Blood Expanse is a jungle. But it's not just a jungle, it's a mountainous jungle. Impassable, explorers say. You must go by boat if you want to get from the Western nations all the way to the Empire of Mu, because the Hundred Blood Expanse is not only a mountainous, almost unclimbable jungle habitat, it's also filled with angry, warring tribes that make it tough for any kind of explorer or journeyman who wishes to make their way east to Mu. However, if we go deep into the Hundred Blood Expanse and our camera starts to descend from the sky down through the thick vines with like monkeys going, swinging by, we finally will come into a clearing, and in that clearing we will find Thanu Temple. Thanu Temple is a monastery, the monastery of the monks of the Waking Dream. The monks of the Waking Dream practice martial arts. They practice a martial arts called Waking Dream style. It's a fluid sort of martial art where it depends on intuition and kind of predicting your opponent's movements in ways that no one could expect. And they live in this serene clearing inside of the jungle, the Hundred Blood Expanse. And right now it is the yearly butterfly migration. So 1,000 little multicolored butterflies flitter by the sort of ziggurat style temple. And we go through the heavy main doors and into the chapel proper. And there we find Claire Grant's character, Fish in the River. And if we may, could we see a picture of Claire's monk character? Could we throw that up on the screen? Here we come. There he is.
Oh. Amazing.
Yes.
There he is.
Fish
is actually sitting with his fellow monks of the Waking Dream. And they're all in their blue, their blue uniforms. And they're not all tabaxi. As you can see, Fish is. They are, some of them are dragonborn. Some of them are triton. Some are even human. But they are all sitting and listening to their master and their sage, Thanu. That's why it's called Thanu Temple, guys, because Thanu runs it. And Thanu is an enormous adult brass dragon. And Thanu the brass dragon is sitting in front of you in this sort of cross-legged fashion. And he is giving you wisdom. He is sharing his riddles with you, fish in the river. And finally, he asks, the assembled monks, who among you is ready to receive the breath of Thanu? Who among you is ready to receive the sacrament of the waking dream?
Fish in the water.
Okay. The other monks look at you because they knew that, like, really, when he asks something like that, you're supposed to just bow your head. But maybe fish in the water, your character, Claire, you know, he has a different style. And so he raises his hand like, ooh, 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 me. And the dragon, like, if it could smile, it seems to sort of smile a little bit. And then it looks down at all of its different disciples and it says, very well. Remember that the dream may escape the boundaries of your own mind. You may find yourself consumed by the dream, walking in the dream. If this happens, do not lose your tether to your physical body. You may need it later. And then he goes... And out of his mouth comes a cloud of beautiful, sparkling purple mist, and it fills the room. And the monks, one by one, breathe it in, and then suddenly they kind of freeze in place, their eyes becoming wide. And that is when, Fish in the River, as the cloud of purple mist hits your nostrils, you must give me a constitution saving throw.
All right. Oh, man.
We are off to a psychedelic start. I love it.
Oh, man. Got an 11.
So you failed, right?
Yeah.
Well, because it was a DC 18. I neglected to say that. A DC 18 saving throw. You rolled an 11. So you failed, but in this case, you want to enter the waking dream. Right. And so as your fellow monks fall into a trance, you too fall into a trance, and you have a dream. Would you roll a D4 for me?
3.
Okay. You suddenly find yourself in the temple again, but it's dark here, and it looks like the temple has fallen into disrepair. There are holes in the ceiling, and a lot of it looks like burnt, or like part of the wall has caved in, and you don't see your fellow disciples or Thanu anywhere. But if you make a perception roll for me, I might be able to tell you more, or you can just ask questions and look around.
I would like to do both. 11 is my
11
perception,
is your perception
check.
Roll. Okay.
And I would like to know more about the holes in the ceiling.
Okay, very good. That's great. So your perception roll isn't enough to kind of get any kind of extra information, but you can go and look at the holes in the ceiling. And when you look out of the holes in the ceiling, you see that you are no longer in the jungles or the beautiful, pristine clearing of the Hundred Blood Expanse, but in fact, kind of an endless storm kind of rages outside, and the rain and the sleet and the clouds are so thick that you cannot even see where you are or get any sense of the territory that you are in. Now, because you failed your perception check earlier, and in fact, this character has an enormous bonus to their stealth, suddenly someone hits you hard, and you feel yourself pushed out of that window into that storm, and suddenly you need to give me a dexterity saving throw.
13.
DC, okay, the DC was actually 15 on this. And so, Fish in the River, you feel yourself, someone has hit you with like a dim mock touch, and you have gotten thrown out of the window into that storm I mentioned, and you suddenly see a golden kind of thread leading back down to the temple, but you are being pulled out into the storm like a kite, and you remember the words of Thanu, do not lose the tether to your body. What are you going to do? Because as you watch yourself, it's like gravity has no hold out here, and you feel yourself being pulled into the storm.
I'm going to grab hold of that golden, leash thing.
Yeah, yeah, the astral tether.
My astral tether, give it to me.
Okay, very good. My astral tether, give it to me. Is there any kind of, what would you roll here? And keep in mind, this is a psychic space, so you don't necessarily have to use your strength or your dexterity or one of your skills in that is connected to that. You could use some other kind of skill roll or something of that nature. I'm going to let you look at your sheet and tell me what Fish would use.
I think Fish would probably use acrobatics.
Okay, then
and
Fish
maybe
may.
Try to grab hold with his tail.
Very good. Oh, Dave, excellent. Okay, yeah. So Fish, he's not much of a psychic warrior. He sticks to his flesh and blood, what he knows, and he uses his dexterity, which is considerable, being a tabaxi, a catman, and he will now roll a, give me a DC 15 acrobatics check.
Oh, no, no, I can give you a 13.
Okay, suddenly the psychic, you're like trying to pull yourself in, but the tornado force winds are battering you about, and suddenly the tether snaps, and you feel yourself pulled into the void, battered by the storm. You are like kind of being tossed by a hurricane, and now I will say that you may take a point of inspiration for going through this experience, which is quite harrowing. And you suddenly feel yourself hit the ground hard. You take a couple damage, but because this is happening really early in the story, don't even bother to mark it down. But yes, Fish, you feel your face hit stone. You feel your body, your spine bashed against some rocks. And then all at once, the sound of the wind stop, and you hear, and the various little of bugs and the sounds of the jungle start to meet your feline ears.
What do I see around me?
Yes, you open your eyes and looking around, you seem to be kind of on a mountaintop in the Hundred Blood Expanse, and you recognize it. You're not far from your monastery. You truly got lost in the dream so much that it apparently has transported you nearby.
Okay. I guess I'd like to follow the birds.
Great. Great. Well, there were actually some buzzards circling around you because as you get up, you feel like maybe you've been out here for days. You had some sort of psychotic break, some sort of astral break, and ended up out in the wilderness. In order to find your way back to your monastery, what do you think you might roll for that? You could roll nature or survival. Do you have either of those skills?
I have both, either. I'll do survival.
Very good. If you already said you're following the birds, so just 12, DC 12.
Great, I got a 12.
You get back to the clearing, but the butterflies are gone, and the sun has gone behind a cloud, and you see that one wall of the monastery, which is very real and no longer a dream, has been caved in. There are holes in the roof and some damage has been done. And in fact, black smoke comes up from it.
I would like to run as fast as I can to see if anyone is alive in there.
Yeah, you run through the double doors, which have been kind of bashed open somehow by some sort of blow that left like black char marks on the door. And when you get into the chapel, you see your fellow monks laying in piles scattered about the room. All of them have like singed fur and scales and blackened faces as if they were kind of fried or burned where they sat meditating. And there up on the dais where Thanu usually sits, there is no one.
Where's
He's gone.
Thanu's gone too?
Thanu is gone, but looking around, you do count to a head the your fellow monks. They are all present, but they are deceased.
So can I tell if the fire destruction is from my golden dragon, Thanu?
That
friend?
Is a great question. What would you like to roll? You could roll, nature or arcana or even investigation.
I'll do investigation.
That sounds good. DC 12 to find something out, but if you get higher, I might tell you more.
I rolled a natural 20.
Ah, hey. So you get to know lots of things.
Give me the truth.
You get to know lots and lots of things. So looking around, first you go up to where Thanu sat, and you find a plant. And the plant is a sort of a flowering herb with these bright blue, like just like sterling blue, like popping sky blue flowers on it. And that wasn't there before, and it's not something that grows nearby. So someone has left this, perhaps as a calling card, to answer the question about your fellow monks. No, this is not the work of Thanu's fire breath. This is... electrical burns, lightning burns. Someone using a lightning strike has murdered all of your fellow monks. And it appears that Thanu has either gone to pursue them or has been kidnapped.
But I can't tell. Like, I can't tell if there was some sort of struggle on his dais.
Yes, it does look like there was a struggle because the building has been badly damaged and only a creature of enormous size could have, caved in some walls and part of the ceiling. You may make one more roll to see if you know who the attackers might be. What skill do you think you would use for that?
Insight?
Insight will tell you something about them, but it might not tell
Perception?
You who they are. Perception? No, I don't think so. I think I would need history here.
Oh, okay.
Or religion.
Oh, or religion. I'll do history.
Okay, very good.
17.
Very good check. Oh, this has got to be the work of your rival school. Your rival martial arts school, monks that serve the blue dragon, Tethys, sometimes known as the Tethian Order.
Okay.
And so, yes, and so you hold up the blue Isatis plant that is their calling card and their symbol, and you look out into the Hundred Blood Expanse, and you realize, what do you realize? What does Fish decide in this moment?
Fish looks out and holds the blue flowers that is the calling card of Tethys and just screams out into the open, Tethys! And then immediately grabs, his rice wine, which I imagine is always nearby.
Yes.
And drinks some and then and vows to destroy Tethys and all of his blue monk followers and find what's my golden dragon's name?
Brass dragon. It is Brass. Thanu.
Thanu. I will find Thanu.
Yes. And so as we watch Fish crawling through the, as I said, very hard to travel territory of the Hundred Blood Expanse, suddenly our camera pans way up into the sky again, and it crosses 1,000 miles in an instant, and we find ourselves in the teeming crumbling metropolis of Spice Harbor on the southern coast of the movie and empire. Spice Harbor is an enormous trade hub, and it is also the home of the imperial bureaucracy that is quartered inside a city within the city here in Spice Harbor known as The Ring. And we find Ross Bryant's character Grinson as he moves up toward the gates that lead into The Ring, the imperial city within the city. And can we see Grinson, if we may, our friend Grinson the sorcerer? There he is. Yes. Sunglasses and yes. all. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that outside the wall that leads into The Ring, and of course it's called The Ring because it's just this sort of perfect, like, walled ring in the center of the city, and all the imperial administration buildings are inside of that kind of walled ring. But up against The Ring, Grinson, you've noticed that it's gotten even worse around here. There are many black rainbow junkies, many black rainbow users kind of just, like, sitting against the walls outside The Ring, kind of hoping to get a couple coins from somebody so they can purchase more black rainbow. And one of them is in the depths of a black rainbow trance. He's apparently used the drug just minutes ago, and his form is kind of shimmering. Like, you can kind of see like a double of him that kind of fades in and out around his body.
Terrible business, this. And I think I'll draw up and walk. As I walk by, look down at this person as I head inside. And I think Grinson has a very, very stoic face, but something like pity plays over it. Do I recognize this poor individual?
No, you do not. And in fact, you can see some of the Imperial Guard are kind of moving over to him in their kind of black policeman's uniforms. And they're trying to get these people off of the wall because, of course, this is supposed to be, you know, the respectable hub of government here in the movie and empire. The 1,000-year movie and empire, once so great, now quite decadent and crumbling. And so you see the cops starting to get rough with some of the black rainbow addicts that are kind of leaning against the wall here.
And perhaps as just within earshot of this person who's phasing in and out of existence, it's like, it's not too late to get your life in order. Death comes for us all. No need to hasten it. Don't you agree?
The person kind of looks up at you, and you can see they have two faces like coming out of their face because that superimposed image is kind of like coming out of them. And they say something that is unintelligible because one voice is going forward and the other voice that's coming out of their mouth is going backwards. So they look up at you and they're like, all right, get along, move along. And then the cops come in and just start bashing the guy with clubs. Come on, shove off. Come on.
Yeah. yes. Yes. Grinson takes in this belligerent approach to social ills and is just like adjusting his glasses, like charming, and like turns and walks into the facility of the ring.
Oh yeah. So one of the cops that's like busy, just like bashing one of the addicts, like looks over at you and goes, looks at your badge and goes, Agent Grinson, morning, sir.
About a bit of the old business. Maybe lighten up somewhat.
They're multiplying, sir. The only thing they understand is force.
Can Grinson reach? Can I mage hand in between his blow and the junkie?
Certainly.
And then I'll just kind of like walk slowly to catch up with that hand that's holding the baton. It's like, his soul is already mostly lost. Perhaps a gentler approach is useful from time to time, wouldn't you say?
If you say so, sir. Yes, sir.
We live in dark times. I kind of tilt my glasses down. You can see my basically all white eyes. It's like, the times are mostly dark. And I turn and walk away.
Better than the civil wars during the Beggar Emperor, sir. You head into the seat of government. These buildings are of a brutalist style. One of my favorite go-to words. They are big boxes with kind of, you know, slits for windows. And in order to get to the Looking Glass, which is the secret police that you the unit that you belong to, you must take two different elevators down deep into the complex, and you finally come out in a subterranean passage where you see a maintenance man casting light on the tubes overhead to keep it kind of illuminated down here. And when he sees you, he says, "Morning, Agent Grinson."
Morning. Another day in paradise, what?
Suddenly, your superior, Olive Polmar, sticks her head out of her office and goes, "Grinson, quit chatting with the help. Come on."
"As you wish." And I move into her office.
The Looking Glass is a secret order. And it was founded by the Beggar Emperor when he fomented the revolution against his previous predecessor, the Horse Emperor. It was all of the thugs and assassins and spies and thieves that the Beggar Emperor was friends with. They became a secret hidden order within the imperial bureaucracy called the Looking Glass. And now you're in your superior's office. Her name is Olive Polmar. She has a very Olivia Colman vibe. And there's mm-hmm. like just papers everywhere, and she's drinking her root juice and is like, "Right, you've been summoned because we have black name protocol." And she pulls something out of a file folder and lays it in front of you. And it is just a kind of a scroll.
And what am I looking at?
You are looking at just a name, but it is written in the terrifying black ink. You never want to see your name written in, because when the Emperor sends the Looking Glass just a name written in this ink, it means that person needs to go away, to mm-hmm. disappear, to be not in the world anymore. And the world, I mean, I'm sorry, the name that you see is Marhiri Khanna. Marhiri Khanna. I know you're familiar, Grinson.
There are a few who are not. And I know who this is, of course.
You do, because for the last, several years or so, you have been the handler for an operation investigating Marhiri Khanna. You have an agent on the island where Marhiri Khanna runs her drug operation. An agent named Skunt. We have a picture of Skunt as well. Skunt, your agent, whom you have lost contact with. You have not been able to see Skunt in some time. Maybe we'll see Skunt in a little bit, but right now I will just say that you you find yourself looking back on the operation and how you lost touch with him. What exactly happened? You can tell me, Ross, the player.
Oh, how I lost touch with him. I think, the way I would handle those, provide, of course, an alias and a means of transport to the island so that you can bring back intelligence for us. Integrate yourself within the operation and find weak points, pressure points. Execute a stress test so that some more able bodies can be put into the field at the appropriate places. I've had this person working deep cover and sending messages back, but they just went silent.
That's right. Last you heard from Skunt, because most of the agents within Looking Glass are sorcerers, they tend to recruit people who have magic in their blood. Skunt was a sorcerer, and he found out that on the island, the drug lab mainly employed sorcerers. And so he was kind of auditioning or trying to get a meeting to become one of the drug lab technicians, which would have put him in the heart of Marhiri Khanna's operation. Unfortunately, as you say, he went silent. And so Olive Polmar says, "Black name protocol. You understand what that means. Take a team in. We're not playing games anymore. This drug. Do you realize, Grinsen? They say the Emperor is on it."
"I've heard the rumors."
"And you said you thought she was building an army out there. Any idea of their numbers?"
"Skunt couldn't provide me with clear numbers before he went dark. So it seems I'll have to see it for myself."
"Very good.
I'm putting my own team together?"
"Yes.
There's very few names around the building I trust nowadays."
No one around the building, Grinsen. No one from Looking Glass can be involved in this operation. I think we need a crew of people who are more or less expendable. We could write all their names on this little piece of paper. In fact, maybe I should start by writing yours."
It's like, "Very well. It wouldn't be the first time, Mar. Completely understood. I'll be about my business and put a little team together."
I want you to give me an insight roll, if you don't mind.
Great.
Oh, and there's Skunt. Poor lost Skunt. He had to look like a criminal, a vagabond, a ne'er-do-well to kind of get in with the Marhiri Khanna's drug operation, and so he does.
"A very useful boy to me."
Alas,
my insight check was just a 6.
Okay, and so Olive Polmar's poker face betrays nothing to you, but you suspect, because it's usually true, that there is another angle to this operation. Why no other Looking Glass agents, and why is Olive coming down in such a heavy way, threatening to put your name on the sheet? Skunt does have train spotting vibes. He's got a lust for life, everybody.
He does have a lust for life. Do you see the beast? We're going to the worst toilet in Moo.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Forgive me if this is like cheating. Can I look around? Can I just briefly glance at the desk and run an investigation to see if I see anything else that might provide intelligence for what she might be holding back that she may have carelessly left around?
Yeah, you absolutely may.
Not much better. 11?
11. I will just say that you see a book on her desk, which it doesn't make sense to you why she would have it. It is, mirror world dimensional transposition. Mirror world dimensional transposition for beginners. It seems to be some sort of planar manual.
Interesting. Very well, Mom. Well, I suppose time is of the essence. Yes?
Yes. We've arranged transport for you. But you need to have a team together within 48 hours.
Can we put together a safe house in town to gather them before we depart?
Yes. Use one of the places on the row.
Very well, Mom. Stand up and just kind of like a little tip of the glasses, like, always a pleasure. Stay in good health.
You too, Grinsen.
And
good health.
That's some Grinsen warmth as he turns on his heel and walks away.
And she also, it's like you just, it's like you guys just exchanged, like, hey, here's the TPS report. And she's like, okay. And then she goes back to her terminal and goes back to typing. And so now, as we leave Grinson moving through the labyrinth of the looking glass beneath the Imperial city, we will go to a mountaintop just outside of Spice Harbor to a beautiful, Athenaeum like building, Acropolis type building of white pillars and ivy curling around them, into its environs, and to a beautiful pool, a limpid reflecting pool with a white stone stairs leading down to it, and above it all is a statue of like sort of like an anime cat girl in like sort of bridal gown with like a veil, and this of course is Ikatra. The White Tiger Bride. And this, of course, is the confines of the Ekaterine Order, the Ekaterine Sisterhood, a paladin order of lady knights who worship Ikatra, the White Tiger Bride, and who believe in redemption. And then just north of this reflecting pool, outside of the pristine confines of their temple, on the mountainside, two women in armor are clashing with swords. Ka! 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 Like, right on the edge. Like, yeah. And one of them is Nora Ibrahim's character, Kina. Can we see Kina? You can tell us a little bit about there she is. Whoa. You can tell us a little bit about her.
So.
Yes, a little bit about her if you'd like, Nora.
Kina is a variant feral tiefling. So she has bat wings and little baby fangs for teeth. She's got chainmail on. I described her to everybody when we first were thinking of characters as a goth Tinkerbell.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But with bat wings.
And she is fighting with her superior, Mother Nalipsis. You are sparring, and Mother Nalipsis is the kind of old lady with a smoker's voice version of goth Tinkerbell. but both of you know sword play. And so, ping, ping, ha, ha. And you have to make an attack, and then she'll make an attack, and we'll see who wins this sparring match.
Oh, hey, okay.
Oh.
We're doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
So, yeah, right. I know what her AC is. Just make an attack, and let's see if you score below.
Dirty 20.
A dirty 20. Oh, that's a real... So you hit. So tell me how much damage you do with your sword. You can use your regular sword for this.
Ooh, not too much. 5 points.
Well, that's okay. You don't want to kill your teacher and beloved Reverend Mother Nalipsis.
Who am I going to bump smokes from? Exactly.
Exactly. Actually, Mother Nalipsis actually has a little bit of a pipe weed in her jaw right now as she bashes against you. And she's like, impressive, impressive, Kina. And then she comes at you and rolls a natural one.
Yes.
And so she kind of like you dodge out of the way and she goes off the side of the cliff. And then she floats back up on her pair of bat wings and lands beside you. And it's like, it has finally happened. The student has become the teacher. Congratulations, Kina. You have bested me.
That is the only praise I've ever gotten in this entire place, this entire time. Thank you, Kina, so much. I'm so glad you're not dead.
Kina, my soul lives on in you, just as the purity of Ikatra lives on in all of our hearts. Come with me. Let us pray before Ikatra. And she walks back down to the reflecting pool.
All right. I follow behind, and I'm in my chainmail with... I sound like jingling keys. as I'm right. approaching.
Yeah. And some of your fellow sisters are there, and they are not everyone is a tiefling, but many of them are tieflings. And the reason that perhaps they have joined the Ekaterine Sisterhood is that tieflings having demonic blood sometimes have a bad, there's racial intolerance against them. And they are thought to be, you know, sinful by nature, deceitful by nature. And so many tiefling women, and your people mainly come from the east, from Lemuria, and from Gloaming to the west. I keep getting it mixed up. From Gloaming, the city of Gloaming, and Lemuria to the west. So, the tieflings that have come here to Mu, here at Mu, they are not given a warm welcome. They are treated as second class citizens. But many of you have joined the Ekaterine Sisterhood to show that you are actually good people and you can devote your life to acts of service and you can be brave, shining knights and fighters for good here in the Muvian Empire. And you are now looking at Ekatra, goddess of purity, the white tiger bride, and Mother Nalipsis is praying in front of Ekatra. Do you pray as well?
I do.
Can I hear your prayer?
Yes. Oh, graceful Ekatra, please give me the strength to smash all the evil in this universe. Please fill my biceps with your wisdom and glory that I may smite mine enemies across the land.
Beautiful prayer. Take a point of inspiration.
It's great.
I forgive me, but I believe I heard a prayer for strength. Is this correct? She lights a cigarette.
As long as I have strength, I will continue fighting.
There is a fight I'm afraid I must ask you to take on.
What is it?
Kina, you remember Marhiri, our sister? She is a traitor. But worse than that,
and Mother Nalipsis walks you to kind of the edge of the reflecting pool and out. You can look out over a wall and you can look out over, because you're way on a high mountain over the city of Spice Harbor. You can look out onto the into the ocean. And she goes,
she is out there on an island polluting Spice Harbor and Mu with her drug, the Black Rainbow. You've seen its effects in the city.
I have.
And you know... Thank you, Ekatra, for the humble cough. You know that she has brought shame upon us. We are no longer trusted. And, most heretical of all, she has named herself a mother. She calls herself Mother Kana. Now, Kina.
I spit on the ground and then I was like, and then I remember like, oh crap, we're not supposed to do that. Like, kneel down and wipe it off.
Remember, it is okay to drop phlegm as long as you clean it with your own fingers. Kina, I must ask you, go to Temple Bay. Find our treacherous sister, Mahiri, and regain the Ekaterine Sisterhood's lost honor. Will you do this, Kina?
With every breath that I have.
She flicks her cigarette away. She comes forward and she gives you, she wraps you in a warm embrace, made doubly warm because you're both tieflings and sort of radiant heat comes off of you at all times. It's like a furnace of a hug.
Okay.
And then she...
There is someone here to see you, Kina. Someone from the city. I told him you would be interested in his offer.
She turns to the gates, and Grinson is walking forward.
Welcome.
It's a charming place you have here. It's a shame about the reputation that has been going abroad about this particular institution and some of its alumni.
We have Careful. Nothing to do with that.
Careful, bureaucrat. You are here by our permission.
Of course, I certainly don't mean to offend. I only wonder if folks as wise as yourselves know how important reputation can be, and how doubly and trebly important it is to see that reputation, shall we say, redeemed.
Of course.
I'm wondering if you'd like to join me on a little expedition, for some of that redemption might be in the offing. I believe you and I share a common enemy.
Yes. With that traitor.
Just so.
Is it Marhiri?
Marhiri, yeah.
Marhiri.
Marhiri Khanna. The poisoner of the veins of our empire. If you care to join me on a little expedition, then perhaps you'd like to quit these charming environs and come to me at my safe house. I believe you'll find the address on my card. And as I turn around, I'm like, don't give that address to just anyone. Secrecy is the order of the day. Don't you agree?
I just kind of mimic the not quite knowing what this means, but I do it anyway.
Yes, I can see we understand each other. Like, the glasses lie down. It's just like a totally white iris, like, pink. And then I just nod to the mother and I'm like, always a pleasure.
She sort of takes you aside now, Kina, and is like, you have not been in the outside world in quite a while, Kina. Beware, its ways do not corrupt you. But now, my daughter, it is time to take the oath of vengeance. And she walks you around the complex, down some stairs, some crumbling stairs, to a different statue. The aspect of Ikatra as the righteous hunter. Holding a bow and looking a lot more like a predator cat. And she says, speak the words, Kina. Speak the words of the oath of vengeance. I'm so mean to Nora. Everybody else, I just had people talking to them, and Nora, I'm like, and now a poem.
Yeah, remember Jared was like, don't worry, guys, we're not going to get into anything too extreme. We're going to introduce our characters.
You can't get it wrong. Like, I'm not going to listen to you and go, that's not the oath of vengeance.
By the blood in my veins, I shall have my revenge.
The sky goes red for a second, and
From outside, Grinson even hears a little bit of that coming up from the ventilation of the building as he's lighting a cigarette. Like, very good, very good,
very good indeed. And now we go to a honky tonk in the bad part of Spice Harbor, and we see a goblin going like this. And there's overturned tables and a broken bottle of ale in front of him. And he's like, and now I'm going to have my revenge. And he pulls a knife and he runs at Bic, Sidney Emanuel's character. Can we see Bic, everybody? A kind of rough living Eladrin. There's Bic. Yes.
Nice.
There she is. Bic, you're in a bar fight for some reason, so let me know what you would do as an ugly little goblin that you know to be named Igblek runs at you with a very sharp, pointy end of a knife.
Bic is sitting at the bar, not facing... what was his name?
Igblek.
Igblek, of course. And she kind of does like a peek over the shoulder and she's like, oh, not again. And she quickly... turns around, spins around her bar stool, and she's going to try to take Iglek's wrist and just flip him over the side of the bar.
Great. Make an attack roll.
All right. Oh! All right, I rolled a natural one. Maybe I've had a few.
Oh, shit. Okay, so Bick is like, fuck this, man, and like just tries to like do some martial arts on him. But yeah, Bick, you've had like a lot of like wine tonight. I don't know what a Ladrin drink. A sweet ambrosia from the Feywild. Anyway, you've downed a bunch of it. And so, in fact, you reach out and he just like kind of stabs you right in the hand. And like suddenly like one of your fingers is kind of like almost off and you're like, ah! And he's like, yeah, that's just the beginning. Yeah, I'll teach you to mess with Egg Black. Ah! And then he's going to come at you again, but you get an action now. You can do something.
Yeah. Ow. I think, yeah, as I reach out, completely whiffing, I go, whoops, fuck. And I'm going to just try to attack again, and this time I'm just going to try to, like, hit the knife far away.
Okay, great. Just, you know, for the viewers, we're not in a full combat. We're in sort of just a scene where I just want to see what happens. So when we get into real combat, we'll go, you know, turn by turn by turn. But right now, we're just meeting Bick. Bick, go ahead. Give another attack roll.
Okay, that's going to be a 13.
Okay, that is enough to hit our friend Igblick, who is a pretty normal goblin. And so what were you going to do to him?
I just want to, like, hit his arm hard enough to fling the knife across the room so he's unarmed.
Oh, great. Okay. That's what you do. You smash his hand actually, you know what? Actually, I want you to roll twice because I think it's disadvantage to disarm someone like that. Could you roll again and see if you roll that 13 the second time? I do want to do that.
I got a nat 20 that time, so.
Whoa! Okay, so with disadvantage, you rolled a 13. This guy's... Oh, I'm sorry. His armor class is 15. Holy shit. Okay,
why
so...
Oh, it's so strong. All right.
Yeah, Vic is having a really... No, it's that's the normal AC for a goblin. So you nail him, and unfortunately you had disadvantage, not advantage, or that natch 20 would have counted, and you smash his arm really hard, but he doesn't drop the knife. And that is when an older gentleman in sunglasses walks in the room and sees Bick losing a fight against a goblin.
And you hear me just going, Igblick, I've told you, just fucking leave it. I said I was sorry, all right?
He's like, you'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. The line of the Igblick brothers runs back to the Hollow Mountain. And once the you know, the pool of obsidian is open, like he's saying all this like fantasy novel
little
shit.
Psycho, you're just stabbing my thighs. Stop it.
That time he rolls a, he doesn't do very well. He rolls a, let's see here. Forgive me. Yeah, he only rolls a 13. Is that higher than your AC?
That actually just hits my AC.
He hits you again. I'm doing damage to you now. But we can put Grinston into the order now. Wait, here, his damage that he does is... He does 8 damage to you. Holy shit, Bick. Your intro scene is killing you.
God.
Now let's
Grinston receives
roll.
Like a little glass of like pale wine and is just like... watching all this happen from across the room.
It sounded like you were trying to use diplomacy with Igblick. Would you like to take a free action to talk to him and roll something?
Yeah, I am going to go for something different. I'm going to do a persuasion.
Okay.
And I'm going to just go, all right, you've had your fun. Why don't I... buy a drink, Igblick. We'll call it even, yeah? We'll just sit down, settle it like men.
That sounds good. I'm going to say it's going to be kind of hard. Or maybe it won't. He's a goblin. They're pretty stupid. Why don't we go ahead and call it a DC of... Yeah, he has a wisdom penalty. Yeah, give me a 10 or above.
Oh, Jared, I just rolled another nat 20 plus 3.
Oh, there you go. So after this guy has almost cut off your finger and stabbed you once, like right in the side, you're like, God, let me just buy you a beer. And he's like, beer?
Yeah, I'll get you a pint. I'll get you a fucking whatever you want.
Yeah, okay, we're even.
He puts the knife in his holster and hops up on the bar beside you, his little legs hanging off of the stool. And you buy him a pint?
Yeah. Buckheap, one for him, three for me.
Jeez, are you okay, Beck? You look like shit.
Fuck! Forgot about my hand. Can I get a rag?
Should I call you a healer or something?
No. Just get me a rag. It's a clean one. Fuck.
Right. He throws you. He like has to go through like five rags before he finds a one that's kind of only moderately soiled, and he tosses it at you. And then he turns to the older gentleman sitting right beside you at the bar and goes, "For you, sir."
Please, may their drinks be on me.
Yeah, sure. What the fuck do I care?
Bick looks over extremely suspicious, not making eye contact.
Not even look, just staring straight ahead.
Igbleck says,
"Wait, if he bought the beer, then my vendetta against you is still on."
Igbleck, take your beer and walk. Take your beer and walk. You're done. We're done.
This isn't over, probably.
Excuse me. It seems as though you, as he's like, excuse me. You don't look quite well. I'm not certain, but has that beer of yours gone to your head? And I'm going to cast sleep on him.
Okay, great. Give me a cast sleep. He has to make a save, right?
I think, yeah, magical slumber, doodly-doo.
What is your spell save DC, my friend?
Yeah, it's, sorry.
You know what? Don't even know it for next time, but right now I just rolled a natural one. Great. So, Igbleck immediately falls unconscious and spills his beer all over himself and is now laying in the middle of the floor.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it a shame how some people can't seem to hold their alcohol?
I don't need your help, whoever you are.
Oh, I know that, to be sure. I had a good demonstration of your skills a moment ago.
My game tonight, okay? I'm for hire. If you need something, ask.
Truly, I'm one to talk. As you can see, I'm simply an older fellow. I'm curious, if you're in need of employment at the moment.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me, an individual with your particular alacrity, strength, and bullheadishness might come in useful for something I have in mind.
I will take those as compliments. Go on.
Yes. I'm going to... Jared, can I roll to see if I know anything, if I've done my... spy thing and know anything.
You don't even need to roll. You know things about her. You have come and sought her out.
Great. Excellent.
Okay, wait, can I roll to see if I know anything about who Grinson is?
Great.
Yeah, you certainly may. I think history would probably be appropriate here, or if you're trying to kind of get what he's about or what his personality is, you'd use insight.
Yeah, I think I'm doing more insight, like looking him up and down, his clothing, his accent, his hairstyle.
And you're seeing a guy, like, the picture's great. You're seeing, like, a super pale, like, a weird thing, like an elderly elfin guy, like, receding hairline, the glasses. Looks like thin to the point of being feeble. Just kind of, like, sitting there talking to you.
He's so old. I only rolled a 7. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's probably not enough to get anything off of him, except that he's a suit. Which probably means he is either noble, although he doesn't look noble, or he is a part of the imperial government who employ a lot of people who don't have the old noble roots from early in the empire. He might just be a middle class man brought up by when the beggar emperor a generation ago kind of created the middle class. They added a lot of his type to the imperial bureaucracy.
Well, I can understand that you'd be somewhat reluctant to make a deal with someone that you've only recently made their acquaintance. But perhaps I can make an offer to you in that I'm wondering if you would like to know the whereabouts of a certain Striga Blackfoot.
She looks around the bar. What are you doing here? Really?
I might ask you the same question. Because it seems to me that someone who's pulled off the sizable score that you and Ms. Blackfoot pulled off should rightly be behind the bars of our fair empire. But it seems as though you two birds gave our authorities the slip. But we've had our eyes on you. It seems that your partner is having quite the pleasurable time. But then again, you'd know all about that, or wouldn't you?
And Jared, can you tell me about what my partner is up to?
Yeah, well, I can tell you that you have a list that you use. You mentioned to me that you use to remember who you need revenge against, right?
My little red notebook, yes.
Yeah, and when you, if you look at your little red notebook, or perhaps you do remember that for some reason the name Striga Blackfoot is at the top of it in really big letters. And as Grinson talks, you remember now your partner, Striga Blackfoot. Yeah, you guys, you pulled so many obelai, a huge score, so much gold. Where is she now? And why are you in this shithole? And how come you don't have any of that gold?
Yeah, you see her pull out this small pocket-sized, like, little moleskin red notebook. And she, the first page, Striga Blackfoot, like, carved in pen. And she looks at it, she looks up at you, closes the book, puts it back. I would like to know if you have information, or if you're seeking information, I could be of service.
You see, we understand each other, and I can always respect a curious and inquisitive mind that keeps good records. Miss Blackfoot.
I want protection.
Hmm?
I want protection. If you're looking for me, you found me. That means you could have taken me, but you don't. So, if I work for you, I get protection.
You'll be under our protection all throughout our little operation.
And after.
The protection is conditional upon resolution of the terms of our deal. I believe we understand each other.
We do.
Have you heard of the island of Temple Bay?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
I believe
never been
some
there.
Of them. Few have in return to speak of it, except those that run the Black Rainbow to and from our shores. But your particular associate, Miss Blackfoot, is currently shacked up there, I might say, in something of a pleasure dome, living the life of a Sybarite under the eye of the lady currently styling herself Mother Karna. Self-styled liege of that little island nation.
Hmm. So, you want me to go in there and get Blackfoot for you?
I believe that might be but one of many things we might do together on that particular geographical location. Miss Karna herself is due for a fall. I'm putting a bit of a team together. And I believe that you and I might be fellow travelers, because I think we both understand the value of settling accounts. And I slide a card across the bar to you. And if you'd care to settle yours, then perhaps I'll see you there tomorrow.
I never did get your name.
The name is Grinson, but some call me Grin. I suppose they're being ironic. No, it's irony, you see. It's the opposite. Never mind. Yes.
There is another name. There's another name in your book, Bic, right underneath. There's several names, but there's another name in your book right beneath Striga. And the name is Urs. U-R-S. And it's written differently. It's written... you can make another insight roll.
Okay, I will. Yeah, I think after Grinson tells me his name, I, like, quickly take out my book again to check if I've put Grinson's name.
Yeah.
No, and a lot of the names are crossed out, and you are surprised to see Igblek on there, and you're like, oh, I should have taken him out. All right. and then no Grinson, thank goodness.
Okay.
But the name Urs is right below Striga, and it seems important, but you have to decipher your own writing here. What has happened to Bic's memory, or why does she have to keep this list? list. Tell us about that.
The book is her memory. She has, like, basically not amnesia, but like goldfish brain. So she's constantly reopening it to be like, what was I doing? Right. Okay. And it's just from getting hit in the head too many times, too many missions, too many runs, too many falls.
Yeah.
But yeah, she puts a star next to Igblick's name. Like, she has all these codes that she soon forgets what they're for. So there's like stars and dashes and dots and like, no idea.
There is a code. There is a code beside hers. There's a code.
That insight roll was a 13.
And that's enough for you to realize that the little symbol you have put beside Urs means that Urs, they are beloved to you. And where are they? They're not here either. We will now cut to another bar in the city. Actually, not a bar, an alleyway filled with angry gang members who are carrying bits of wood with nails through them and broken bottles as weapons. And they are surrounding a cat man with a jug in one hand and some blue flowers in the other.
No.
You don't come asking questions around here, Tabaxi.
I will ask questions wherever I want.
I think he's drunk.
I am exactly what I need to be. And then he takes his jug and he like smashes it on the side of the wall in the alley and pounces on the closest person to him.
Okay, great. Let's roll initiative, and let's have another one of our little mini combats. Here, I got my thug stats open.
All right. I rolled a 18.
Okay, so you go first, and so go ahead and make your attack against the first thug.
All right. I guess I'm going to attack him with, can I attack him with the broken bottle? Would that won't count as a monk weapon, will it?
No, it probably won't count as a monk weapon. So you could use your hand to hand, or we could say you have a broken bottle, but you're really using hand to hand. That's okay. Okay. Unarmed, we could call it if you'd like.
Okay, well then I'm just going to like, claw to the face.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Oh, I got to roll a natural 20.
Holy shit. Yeah. So the drunken Tabaxi lands on this guy and removes his face very quickly with his claws. And let's see how everybody else does on their morale. Yeah, not good enough. And so the gang members are like, shit! And they all just start running away from the martial arts master, drunken cat man. And soon you are alone in the alleyway with a guy who's like, because part of his face is kind of gone.
I can't believe I wasted an entire bottle of rice wine for all of you to just run away from me. And now you have to tell me where I can find the blue dragon.
That is when you detect, no perception roll necessary, someone behind you, my friend Fish. And when you turn, or when you look, it is an older gentleman, an older elfin gentleman, who is standing and watching you interrogate a man who can no longer speak.
What are you staring at?
Oh, forgive me, I was simply drawn to a commotion that I heard down this particular thoroughfare. What's that in your hand? Well, isn't that a botanical peculiarity? Such beautiful flowers.
What do you know of these flowers?
Now I wouldn't call myself an expert by any means. I simply do know that that is the Asatis plant, I believe.
It is.
They rarely grow in this part of our empire. I did know of one place. I believe there... yes, if my memory doesn't betray me, there was a place on Temple Bay rather nasty school of the martial arts cultivated them. If, of course, my aged memory serves me correctly. Yes, I believe I know the place. Good evening to you.
No, excuse me, sir.
Please, Grinson. And you?
Grinson. I am Fish in the Water. You can call me Fish.
I understand the value of a good nom de guerre. Fish, is it?
Fish.
If you'd care to see more of these particular blossoms, I'm getting a bit of an expedition together to Temple Bay. It seems your skills might be in order.
I am looking for these flowers.
And those that cultivate them, I dare say.
I am looking for those that cultivate them.
Well, you shall find they have very dangerous friends. Because their little temple falls under the purview of Mahiri Khanna.
I have heard of this Mahiri Khanna.
Well, if our little expedition is successful, perhaps those who hear of her anon shall hear of the late Mahiri Khanna. I think we understand each other, do we not? If you'd care to learn more, and I do love to talk flower arranging. Just, yes. This address.
Fish swipes it with her claw and sort of like hisses a little, like,
huh.
And looks at it. And how did you find me?
Oh. Happy accident, I suppose. You drive all suspicion from your voice. How could I know who you are? How could I know where you'd go? I'm just an old man, after all. And I shamble away.
And now we will cut to the deck of a tugboat in the Bay of Spice Harbor, where all of our characters are standing. And before them is a dwarf with a shock of red hair and a big dirty shirt with holes in it and kind of like a do-rag wrapped around the back of his head. And he's like, Bamber Whetstone, pleased to make your acquaintance, Sea Dwarf.
Bamber Whetstone.
Bamber Whetstone. How are you? Hey, hello, miss. He takes Kina's hand and tries to kiss it.
No.
Right. Sorry. I'm trying to be. It's not often I have a gentry like y'all on my boat.
To Fish, whoever's next to me not listening, I just go, I didn't even know they made sea dwarves.
They don't, miss.
Did dwarves
have really good
hearing? I'm sorry.
I have really good hearing, yeah. No, I'm the only sea dwarf that exists, actually. Dwarves generally abhor the aquatic pursuits, except for me. I just love getting wet. this is my here ship, the Floating Boulder. I'm one of the few captains that'll chart a course to Temple Bay, of course. I mean, without an invitation.
I mean, he seems really enthusiastic.
This is your opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to just discuss your plan. Our good friend here, Grinson, has a good map, a good workup of the island itself. But for the moment, let's just say, let Bember know when you'd like to head out into the blue. And if there's any kind of last-minute prep you want to do in terms of buying items or establishing, you know, your kind of you know, your workflow and your general sort of synchronicity mm-hmm. with each other as teammates. Yes. Now is the time to get that out of the way.
Is anybody familiar with the land that we're going to?
I have never seen it with mine own eyes, but this was smuggled out of it at great cost, I might add. And I'll unroll the map for that.
Let's look at the map. Let's look at the map of Temple Bay. So Temple Bay is our dungeon for this campaign. It is our location where we will be running our operation to destroy Mother Kana and her insidious Black Rainbow operation. When we get Temple Bay up there, I can show you that. And by the way, Bember chimes in here. He says, docking at Temple Bay is by invitation only. People go through the black market here in Spice Harbor or in Gloaming, and they get a special dispensation to dock at Temple Bay at the Seagate. If you don't have an invitation, well, they'll sink your boat. Of course, I'm crazy, so I'll do whatever y'all want me to do. Perhaps you get a wild hair, you think you can talk your way past the Red Wave who guard the docks. You can try that if you'd like. You also probably know about the hidden grotto on the north end of the island. And on the north end of the island, there is, of course, nothing but jungle, but there is a hidden grotto there and a way to climb up onto the island that way. The map of the island is the title page of Roll 20, where you are now. The map's coming up on the broadcast. Great. So you'll be able to see the map in a second and kind of decide whether you want to go around and try to go through the jungle to the fortress of Mother Kana, or whether you'd rather approach via the sea gate, which is heavily guarded, and talk or stealth your way in and get into the city on the south end of the island. Once you're looking at the map, I can tell you a little bit more, or Grinson can tell you more about what is there on the island. But you'll see a lot of different structures there. That big dome that you're about to see is the Pleasure Dome, where Grinson said that Striga Blackfoot was living it up with her and Bick's share of their recent score. And you also see the fields where the Isatis plant is kind of cultivated, and the temple that gives the island its name is on the eastern side of the island. In the center, there is sort of a complex that's possibly Mother Kana's complex itself, right there in the center. And then on the western side of the island, there is a drug lab. So all of that will be visible in just a second, but really, you guys can just discuss your approach how you'd like to.
Well, Grinson,
mm-hmm.
You seem like a smooth talker out of all of us. No offense to everybody else, but that is kind of risky.
Indeed. I myself have been known to be rather persuasive, but this is a tall order. Jared, those are pass documents you referenced. Is that the sort of thing that we could find or forge or produce?
Certainly, I would make you make rolls to do that, of course. And I might make them secret rolls where you don't know if you've forged them adequately or not.
Okay, question. Great. As a rogue, would I have any abilities that would help me, or what would you make us roll for that?
That's a great question. I think that I probably would go with some deception to forge a document, but I would be willing to hear other pitches. Well, there's a crafting skill? No, there is not.
I have a forgery kit.
Holy shit! Well, that would give you advantage, I think.
All right.
Cool.
Hey.
Just checking. Well, okay, so yeah, so I turn to Grinson and Bember, and I say, I'm all for sneaking around the back and going through the grotto, whatever you were thinking, but why not fix something? Why fix something that's not broken if we can go in through the doors? Bember, you said people come and go all the time. Why should we be any different? We pretend we're, what, buying drugs or whatever, and I show them a little document.
They only deal with people by invitation, and the only people allowed onto the island are cutthroats who wish to swear their allegiance to Mother Kana and become part of her operation, or pleasure seekers. Those who wish to fulfill their forbidden desires in the island's pleasure dome, where you can try exotic drugs or sample the pleasures of the painted eye courtesans.
Yes, Mr. Whetstone does bring up the topic of a cover story for our little operation. And once we do make landfall, how we will be concealing ourselves in plain sight, as it were. Yes. I'm also not opposed to sneaking in through the jungles at the north, but as you can see, it's been a long time since I've been in the field, and sneaking and climbing are rather more difficult than they were to me some time ago.
Right. Well, diplomacy might be the way to go, I suppose. I mean, but then if that doesn't work, there's nothing that divinely ordained violence can't solve.
However, digging through her pack as you all are talking and pulls out her forgery kit and just starts to work on it and see how it, like, I'll work on it on the trip, and if we all think it looks good, great, then maybe we'll try, and if not, if we think it looks like shit, we won't.
So we're forging an invitation?
Great. I love it. Yeah. You've been cordially invited. I'm doing curly Q script and stuff.
Save
the date.
Beautiful. That sounds right. So let's go ahead and make that roll, but I'm going to make it for you. And I know what the DC is, and I know what is your deception. What is your deception bonus?
My deception is a plus three.
+3. Okay. So yeah. pretty good. Okay.
I would like to give Vic guidance.
Yeah. If I could do that as well. I think that sounds like it's within our purview. Yeah.
Absolutely. Normally someone helping you would just give you advantage. I said she was going to get advantage for having a forgery kit anyway. But I'll tell you what. I'll say that anybody who has inspiration can re-roll this when you get to the docks. How about that? That's what you get from helping each other. Let's see here. So, interesting. Okay. Interesting.
Okay. Oh, that Jared right. Logan poker face.
Alrighty.
So you now have what looks like a kind of a, it's like this scroll, but it's like kind of ornately worked with like beautiful kind of calligraphy. And it shows kind of the Isatis herb kind of like curling along one border. It definitely looks like an engraved invitation to the pleasure dome of Temple Bay, according to what Bember and, of course, Grinson's intelligence tells you something like that should look like. It feels like you have it, and you're bobbing along. It only takes the better part of a day to get to Temple Bay. So let me know if you have any other prep you'd like to do before you arrive.
I feel like we should decide what our backstory is here, because I know I might just flub it.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. we should all be on the same page, at least for that. And if it all goes wrong, then we can fight. But yeah, at least one solid.
I've seen more than one operation go sideways when people don't agree on a backstory in advance. Yes. If I may humbly make a pitch, at least, as it were, from what may be a believable story for myself, that I am a elderly gentleman of some years and means going to the Pleasure Dome to recapture some lost sense of boyish pleasure. And perhaps I am one of the aforementioned pleasure seekers going there, and I will dress and disguise myself accordingly of someone going through a late-in-life crisis, shall we say?
Under her breath, Vic mumbles, "I'm not going to wear a hat. I don't look good in them. I won't wear one. I'll disguise myself. I won't wear a hat. If you make me wear a hat, I won't do it. They make my head look too small for my body." Do I have to wear one? I look at Grinson. Do we have to wear hats?
No one said anything about hats being mandatory. No. Grinson has a little box of hats that he surreptitiously pushes away.
Bember hands you a mug of water and is like, "Be careful. You can get sun madness out here."
I drink the water.
Huge gulls wheeling overhead as he pulls a lever and keeps the tug moving.
So our cover story is that we're all just here to help Grinson relive his youthful,
I'm not proposing that it has to be a team effort. Everyone can have their own.
All right. Well, I don't want to go in on the drug angle. So I guess I could say that I've been kind of living a super this doesn't have to stretch far from the truth. I have been away from civilization for too long. I've never had any fun. I want to get my spring break.
Great. Spring break excuse. I love it. And so the Tabaxi and the Aladrin, what is your backstory? Is it could be the same. You don't have to, or perhaps you have a unique angle. It's up to you.
I think Fish genuinely is just chasing the best state of drunken wastedness ever, and what better place than the legendary Temple Bay.
Is Fish drunk while he's on the ship?
Yes, absolutely. Drinking is the only way that Fish can combat the motion of the ship.
Great. I love that he's a monk who are masters of movement, but he can't handle on the high seas.
This has turned into Fear and Loathing in Temple Bay.
Yeah. Stop here. It's Skull Country.
Bember has a weird little still on the ship, and he keeps pouring you more. It's not rice wine. It's some sort of rum. And he's having a bit, and you guys notice that the cat man and the dwarf occasionally are like laughing, like, "Ah! That's a good one. I like you. I've never met your species before, but I like you."
Fish takes his tail, which is very erratic right now, and slaps the dwarf on the back and is like, "I like you too."
Okay. That was weird, but thank you. Yes, I love you. Yeah. Man, this guy. Friends. Yeah. Everybody seems to have gone with a story that they are just there for the Pleasure Dome, for the pleasures that only it can provide, which is a reason that people come to this island. But we haven't heard from Bic yet. What is Bic going to say her cover is?
Yeah, I thought about the drug thing too, but I think it's just easier if we all are going to the same place so we don't get separated or like nobody thinks anything's weird. So I think same deal. I'm a Hawaiian shirt over my armor. It looks Bic tries to look relaxed. Like someone trying to relax on vacation, like very tense. And I'm like, I love this feeling of the sun on my skin.
Well, a Hawaiian shirt, it sounds like you're getting disguised a little bit. Would you guys like to try a little disguising for these covers?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And then Fish is like, Bic, do you have, can I twinsy you? You look so cool.
And hats
cool.
are an option. If hats are an option,
no
just saying.
Hats!
Okay, all right.
No hats!
Just saying, putting it out there.
No hat. You can wear a hat. Sorry, I yelled. Fish. Yeah. Yeah, I think I have another shirt, and I find another shirt on the ship, and we have matching Hawaiian shirts.
Does anybody have the disguise kit?
Oh, wait, do I?
That's a very good question.
Oh, no, I don't.
No.
That's okay. I think a ruling that you have some shirts you can throw on and things like that. You know, Bember Whetstone has some crappy island clothes you all can borrow as well. But we're going to do a disguise roll, and I'm not going to like give you bonuses because you're not using a kit. Just to see if this kind of helps with your... So you have cover stories, and now you're kind of like getting dressed as like tourists.
Yeah.
So
I think, Grinson is dressed like kind of older single gentleman going to Vegas. Like, it's like a white, like billowy suit. And like, and yes, he is maybe wearing one of his many hats. It's like a sun hat.
Great. And you know what you guys can do is you can give me a deception roll if you'd like to simulate this kind of disguising yourself thing. I'd also accept maybe stealth because you're trying to be kind of non-conspicuous. But it's up to. But one of you needs to make the roll.
Okay. All right. I'll go for it.
Okay. Yeah, Ross, you do it.
Unless somebody else is dying for it. Here we go. Oh. One of my best bonuses, but I rolled an 11.
Okay, an 11. Okay, so you know, you're not sure how convincing it is, but you guys at least don't look like a tactical team that's been sent to kill Mother Kana. Okay,
cool. Can I just say that I have like still my chainmail and all that stuff on, but I just have like a tank top over it that has like a flower lay. Like design, and it says I got laid at Temple Bay.
Yes,
and sunglasses, like have, and I'm good.
Like how you have the merch for where we're for going, where you and go. You're like, yeah. I was so excited to get there.
I was ready.
There's a lot of like bootleg t-shirt shops on the pier.
On the way, of course. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Great. And so now you are slowly getting close to the island itself. You can see a lot of gulls wheeling around overhead, and you realize that you are almost there. So we are out of prep time in just a minute. Does anybody have one last thing? Because I know what happens a lot in D&D is I'll go, and now you're there, and someone will go, wait, can we go back? So instead of doing that, just let me know. Is there anything left? You have, I'm just going to go through your preparation. You have a engraved invitation forged by the thief and cutthroat Bic. And you don't know how effective it is because I rolled it in secret. You have disguises that you know are not amazing. They're about DC 11 level quality, as Nora just described. Mm-hmm. Kina is wearing thick chainmail and a flower tank top, which I love. Is there anything else that you'd like to do? And you all have cover stories. You kind of worked on your cover stories a little bit. And you can see just in the distance on the horizon the tops of the jungle-covered hills of Temple Bay, and even maybe one of the minarets of the temple itself is just slightly visible now. Any last prep that you'd like to do?
As a spy, as a criminal and spy, as like my background game mechanic-wise, I do have a feature where I just know people. I have like a trustworthy contact who is a liaison for me within my network, and one of them is Seedy Sailors. So I think I want to tell what's his name? Bember. I want to tell Bember to like deliver a message along the seas to another sailor, and basically just say like, we're going in here to this known bad place. If Bic doesn't come back, send someone to make sure, like send some backup or something, you know, just sort of put the word out within my criminal spy network, like Bic's on a mission, keep your heads up.
Right, I can pass it along. I'll visit the salty squid, the drowned penguin, all of our favorite casual dining restaurants, the barnacle-covered buffalo, those places, and I'll let them know. Bic's put the word out. And then he pulls out a wand, and he offers it to you all, and he's like,
This is a flare wand with one charge. When you're ready to leave, fire it north, south, east, west, northwest, and I will come to that shore of the island to pick you up. But right now, I guess, that is if I survive. I mean, we are going to sail right into the sea gate, and now the sea gate is starting to be kind of visible to you. And you can see that the island, you know, there's like kind of this wedge of land, but there's kind of like some walls and some sort of fortifications built on it. And he has to kind of, and you can also look on Grinson's map, he kind of has to kind of angle the boat in and then go down this like narrow kind of structured kind of lane. And then they actually open a gate. And then his little tug will go beyond it and the gate will shut. So that is what you're approaching now. And you can see now figures walking along the top of the gate and along those fortifications. And they are dressed with like long, sinuous kind of like swords, a katana, basically. And they're wearing like chainmail as well. And they're wearing like red masks. And they look like samurai. And they're like walking about on top of those fortifications and on top of that sea gate. And so you are now about to enter the docks.
Okay. Fish would like to jump out of the boat onto the little dock area with like a little flipping flourish thing.
Okay, great. Stretch. So you get great. So you guys are ready to go through the gate, and then you're gonna just hop out and act like no big deal, right? Mm-hmm. You can't quite jump out and stretch yet, Fish, because the little tug arrives at where they lift the gate, and you see that there's like these stairs where someone can kind of walk down and kind of like put out a plank to get on your boat, and then you hear, "Hail, Captain! Prepare for boarding." And then these soldiers in these kind of like samurai masks all kind of like walk down and prepare to push out the plank onto your ship. And Bember looks at you and he's like nodding like, "We're going to let these guys board."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. And he comes out and he helps them attach the plank. And then they walk across and... Grinson, you know that these guys are members of the Red Wave, which is one of the many gangs and mercenary companies who have come to work in Temple Bay. If anybody wants to roll history at a DC of 15, they can know a lot of things about the Red Wave, which All right. could be useful or might just be colorful.
I can try. I'll also cast guidance on myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Which will not help me.
Did anybody succeed?
I rolled a 14.
Oh. Okay, very good. So you don't know anything about these guys except that Skunt told you that they kind of act as the police on the island. And he thinks that there's some kind of mercenary company from some land none of you have been to out east. And now that they're walking around you, you can tell that whatever's behind the mask is not human or elf or tabaxi or tiefling. It's something else. And they're like, "Papers."
And...
"Papers!"
Paper. Oh, you mean the invitation. The invitation. Yes, of course. I put it somewhere. Hold on. And I pulled my big beach bag. I pull it out.
Yeah, let's see the map. Go, let's see it, guys, because I want to show you where you're at right now. We are here.
Ooh. Ooh, yeah.
Yes. I'm not seeing it, but I'm sure I'll see it in just a second. He takes your paper, and he is looking carefully at it through his mask. You see yellow eyes peering from behind the mask. And let's see how good this guy is. Can he beat your roll at detecting a forgery? Oh, you had a forgery roll. Can he beat it? I was like, He nods to his compatriots who start to move and surround you and flank you on your boat with their swords kind of at ready. And you all get the feeling that maybe this is not a very good forgery. But I said that if someone wants to spend inspiration, who helped, they can do that. And I will re-roll it for you.
Yeah, I definitely will be like, fellas, the festivities don't start on the boat, but start in the pleasure dome.
Okay. That time, you wrote a little better. Be sure to go ahead and erase that point of inspiration on your sheet. And so now the leader, the captain, looks at it again. He peers at it and he goes, "This is one of the old passes, yes? How long have you been holding on to this?"
Let me look in. Hold on. And I opened up my little book pretending to read from it. I was like, wrote down the date. It was from a 2-3. Got it for a birthday present like 3 years ago. I must have forgotten completely. Mm-hmm. Do they expire? We already paid for the boat out here.
No.
You know how difficult it is to tear yourself away from the responsibilities of the mainland. But that's why we're here, to put all that behind us.
Adama. And then they walk up and they look you over and they're like, "Business on the island? Pleasure dome only? Yes?"
"Is there any other kind?"
"There is." "Huh. You are making a joke." "Listen, rules. Kill no one, yes? And do not talk about Temple Bay. Those that talk about Temple Bay, even back on the mainland, die."
I just looked down at my shirt.
It's like...
"Do I need to repeat the rules?"
Nope. Right up here.
Crystal clear.
"Very well. Let them through." He makes a motion, he moves you through, and you go through into the docks, and we'll go ahead and put the docks up for everybody to take a look at. There they are. Why am I? Okay, yeah, here we are. And you land in this kind of simple dock area. There's Bember on his little skiff there. And you've made it through the gate. You can see where the stone stairs and everything where they kind of stopped you are. You guys... and there's everybody. We have Kina, Bick, Grinson, and our friend... You can see your little pawns now, everybody. And our friend Fish have all made it onto the docks. And our friends, these samurai are kind of stationed around to kind of keep an eye on the dock area. You can see that there is possibly something going on in this building beyond here. Then you can also move up onto the beach and out into the city if you'd like. So let me know what you'd like to do next.
We should just like head in the direction of the pleasure dome, right? To not raise suspicion, just like whatever direct way, and then we'll get a better lay of the land.
Seems wise. Yeah.
Bember goes, "Remember the flare."
Right.
He was like, "Well, have a good time, everybody. I'm going to head back to my port-a-call." And he starts backing the ship out of the dock area.
Not to belabor the point, Mr. Whetstone, but it's been a pleasure. Shall we?
Very good. You move past these scary-looking masked guards. You move past the buildings down here at the dock area, and eventually you find yourself in the city proper. The city has no name. It's just also called Temple Bay. And you can see that as you come up out of the docks, You are in a marketplace. Here, I'll go ahead and bring that up. Yeah, and it's full of people and things. Oh, wait, maybe it already has some things on it I don't want you to see. Maybe I will go ahead and leave that alone for right now. But you go up into, and there's a marketplace that's kind of chattering, and there's lots of people about, and there are all kinds of folks moving about that look disreputable and scary and criminal in their character. Then there are a few people who look like they might be visitors, right? They look like, you know, they're wearing golden circlets around their head and walking around in diaphanous caftans and looking at the strange pickled eyeballs and jars that are being sold out of the little market tents and things like that. You can now find your way around the market or deeper into the city. But you say that you are all trying to go to the Pleasure Dome. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So moving up the main thoroughfare through the city, you eventually come to the building that you can see on our main map of the entire island, this huge kind of red dome. Looks like kind of the Hagia Sophia or whatever. It looks like it used to be a church maybe or something like that, but it is a beautiful kind of rose-colored dome. Here I can bring it up. Here we go. There it is. That particular building is the Pleasure Dome.
Mm.
And it has like other structures kind of hanging off the side of it. And look, the main entrance looks like a big mouth with like lips and teeth. There are many more of these sort of red masked guards standing outside of it.
Is it just me, or does the Pleasure Dome look like a giant boob with teeth?
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that, yeah.
You're certainly not wrong.
Are we going in?
Yes.
The giant boob with teeth.
I suppose we could continue to psychoanalyze the architect who produced this monstrosity, or perhaps we shall go inside this work of Mammarian Dentata.
Does anyone else get the sense that, like, once you enter the Pleasure Dome, you don't leave the Pleasure Dome? Like, do we see people walking in and out freely? I'm just worried, like, should we do anything else before we go inside?
There are definite areas you can look around in the city. You can see that there's sort of the marketplace, and sort of the rough part of the city is to the west. And then there's kind of a nicer quarter of the city to the east of the Pleasure Dome. So you could go and look at either if you'd like.
Does anybody have any healing potions, and should we buy some before we go into the Pleasure Dome?
Yeah, maybe go to the marketplace. It's not a bad idea.
That would be a good idea, yeah.
I wonder what they might have. They might have some weird stuff.
Yeah, so after a long sea voyage,
they probably have some weird stuff.
It's good to have some retail therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. You head into the marketplace, and I can tell you how much gold each of you have, because I rolled it the other night based on your class. So, Grinson, you're carrying 80 gold. Kina, you're carrying 140 gold. Bic, you're carrying 70 gold. And Fish, you're rich. You have 9 gold.
Okay.
Yeah. You're all kind of... That's how much you have to spend. You're moving about, and you not only can you buy things, you can also sort of, talk, get rumors, talk to various people in the marketplace and see what you can find out about the Pleasure Dome or business here in Temple Bay. This place is like out of a James Bond movie. There's just like, it's just booming with life. There's just all these people moving about playing shell games and like shouting their wares. And like I said, when you get into the center of the market, you're seeing a lot more of these sort of like noble types who are kind of like enjoying themselves and sitting at these kind of like cafes with fans and sipping alcoholic drinks. Everything, though, is dirt floored. So this place is authentic. This isn't civilization. You are at the edge of the map here, and it definitely feels that way as well. So you can see where, like, for example, one place got muddy and like a cart being drawn by like a gazelle has like fallen into the mud and is having trouble getting out. So it's not an extremely civilized place. There's not a lot of magical lighting or magical conveniences that would make life easy, but there are many things to buy. Everything is for sale. So let me know how you'd like to proceed.
Putting your ear to the ground sounds like a good thing. I might like post up at one of those cafes you mentioned for a moment and just like see what I can overhear.
You go into one of those cafes and there's like a few noble types kind of sitting around, and a very officious, a man who continue to brings them like, root juice, is what, serves as coffee or tea in the movie An Empire. It's like ground out of roots. It's very fragrant. Sometimes has like a cinnamon smell. This officious little waiter, and proprietor is bringing people, root juice in this cafe. And, one of the noble types that's seated is a man in a white suit and he's enormously fat. And he's got also kind of like a white fedora on, and he's talking to, the waiter, and he's like, "How many days does it take to get a circlet?" And the waiter is like, "It depends. Different people receive their circlet at different times. Sir, I might have a cousin who works in the Pleasure Dome, who could perhaps grease the wheels a little bit, if you are willing to pay.
And you ensure me that this will speed up the process?"
"Absolutely, sir, absolutely." So that's what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Do we know what a circlet is?
I don't think I do. I can roll to... Do I know?
Yeah, I think that's...
Like, yeah, it's a tiara, right?
Yeah, a little tiara.
Are these the ones that you explained we saw people wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe so, yes. Actually,
is this just like a wristband situation?
Yes, so if you pass that on, are you passing that on to the rest of your party?
Yes.
Okay, so once you notice that, you do notice that, like, there are a few people moving around the market, all noble types or moneyed types, who do appear to have, like, a circlet, of jade kind of around their forehead.
Mick looks at her Hawaiian shirt and thinks, stupid.
Fish looks over her and goes, "I love it."
I might try to. Is there someone with one of those circlets around that's maybe by themselves or drinking or hanging out?
Sure. So you're looking for someone with a circlet. You see a beautiful elven woman, and she's wearing the circlet. But she is kind of in like the habit of another clerical order. You're not sure quite which god, unless you roll religion. But she does appear to be kind of like looking through like clothing and on one of the racks.
I will totally roll religion. Let's see. Man, I cannot roll above an 8 today. Seven.
You have no idea you do notice this though. She is wearing her habit on backwards.
Okay, that tells me something. I just kind of walk up and I begin to kind of look on the other side of the wares, just kind of looking at things. And then if I can make her catch her eye, just be like, "Ah, I get mine, and the word is I'll receive mine in a couple days."
"Oh, how nice. Perhaps I will still be enjoying the pleasures inside the dome when you arrive. I'm told that one can keep busy for a fortnight and not run out of new experiences."
I heard that last night someone tried to enter without one.
I would not recommend that.
Nor would I.
No, the Red Wave, they are authorized to put someone who were to do that immediately to death.
Immediately at death, yes, that's what I was saying. Yes, of course. Well, perhaps I'll see you there in a fortnight's time.
Perhaps. And would you please give me a roll to charm this woman?
Yes. Can I just roll persuasion or deception?
Either one. Which one are you want to do? You lied, so go ahead and roll deception.
If we're nearby, can I give him guidance?
Grinson is cover story.
Yes, you may. You may. And you're a tiefling. You know about deception. So, you're getting an extra 1d4 to your roll, Grinson.
Well. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
An extra d4. Okay, great. Okay, 14.
14, okay, let's see. Okay. She kind of, like, her eyes narrow a little bit. She doesn't have much of a poker face. And then she makes an impassive face again and goes back to looking at the racks.
Pick up a shirt, like, One black rainbow, two black rainbow, three black rainbow, four. Floor? Charming.
The rest of the party is. I know that Kina was watching this. Kina, could you make a perception roll for me?
Sure. I'll also give guidance to myself because I have a plus zero on that. All right, so 16 plus dirty 20.
A dirty 20, very good. Okay, Kina, you notice that the woman that Grinson was talking to, as he kind of moves on through the market, kind of watches him for a minute and then kind of looks both ways and runs, like, moves someplace with purpose immediately. I would like to know what Fish and Bic are doing during this time.
Fish has sort of meandered from the group but is still close by, but is looking to see if there's, like, any alcohol at this place where we are.
Ah, very good. Yes. So in the Palm Leaf Cafe, where the obese man in the white suit is, would you like to ask that proprietor if there's any alcohol, or would you like to just look deeper in the market and see if you can find some booze?
I wouldn't mind asking this guy about some alcohol.
What is your pleasure, sir?
Sir, I really, really prefer the rice wine, but I just had something delicious I'd never had called rum. Very rum? Delicious.
In the root or without?
Okay.
Right. And so he prepares you a coffee or like a root juice, and he pours a nip of rum into it and sets it in front of you in a very tiny cup.
Okay. And then Fish just, like, takes it right back.
Okay. You suck it down in one, and he's like, did you enjoy it, sir?
I think I did.
Another, sir?
I mean, how much is it?
That particular vintage is 5 silver per glass.
Yeah, I'll take another.
Dunk. He gives you another drunken espresso, basically. And so Fish is putting a lot of chemicals into his feline body. Bic, what are you up to?
Did Bic get the high sign from Grinson about the circlet? Like, were we all in on him asking about that?
I think that that's fair. If you would like to have been watching and paying attention, I think that that makes sense.
I think Bic also just kind of wants to do a little recon, and she goes to a purveyor of, like, jewelry or whatever, and she goes, this is all very nice, but where do you get the...
Well, of course... that must be purchased, milady, from the Red Wave in the inn.
Oh, in the inn. Someone else. I was so confused. In the inn. It's in the inn.
The blue petal inn.
Ah, all right.
To the east, m'lady. There's absolutely no way to get a jade circlet other than that. No way, m'lady.
Right, of course, and... She's thinking, she goes, right, of course, and of course the Red Wave would be the only ones who sell it, taking so much business away from the marketplace here for... folks like yourself. It's unfortunate that it's only the Red Wave that I have to go to now, all the way over there in the inn.
Yes, of course. Occasionally guests lose track of their circlets.
That's what I was thinking. It could easily slip off or forget it in a bathroom or where would I go looking?
In fact, are you... Let's see if you're making this gentleman trust you, Bic. Give me a one... persuasion or some role like that. And you only need to get 12 or above because this guy's trying to make the deal, but he's kind of looking you over to see if you seem dangerous.
You said above 12?
12 or above.
It will be above with my bonus, yes.
Very good. Yes, in fact, I happen to have found one myself just recently. Just laying on the ground in the marketplace, and he kind of looks outside of his stall and then pushes it toward you. 100 gold, 1/3 of what they charge at the Blue Petal Inn.
100 gold? It's scuffed up. It looks like it was stepped on.
Well, it likely was. Make me an offer. Meanwhile, my friend Kina, were you following the woman, or were you going to just see what happened?
I see a woman get uncomfortable and walk away.
Yes, you saw the woman that Grinson was sort of questioning or talking to kind of look around, like keep an eye on Grinson for a moment and then run off with purpose.
Okay, I'm gonna look at Grinson and thinking that touching my nose is a thing that means I'm taken off for a sec. Like I saw him do, I'll go like this, look at him, and then with a very inconspicuous whistle, just follow that woman.
Oh,
very good. Could you give me some sort of a stealth roll or some sort of roll that will allow you to follow her?
Okay, stealth will be interesting because I have to be at a disadvantage.
Well, you could use something else if you'd like.
I mean, I'm not sure what else would be the best.
Well, let me see. So for following somebody, let's see. I would allow survival because you're kind of just tracking her. Okay. But those are probably the only two things I would allow. So
I mean, I feel okay with rolling with disadvantage. I could also do that, or I could do survival. It doesn't matter.
Let's roll. Okay, yeah, let's roll stealth with disadvantage. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So I rolled a 10.
Okay.
Stealth.
Not horrible, but not great. And so what I'm going to rule is that you lose track of her. You head back to the rest of your merry band, and you only catch up with them as you see that this woman in the backwards kind of clerical garb has led up several guards of the Red Wave. And they are, she's pointing at your party, and in particular, they are now pointing at our friend Bic, who is currently haggling over a jade circlet inside of the market. Let's see how Bic's haggling went. Bic, can you get this guy down on the price?
Yeah, I think she's leading with the, like, it's scuffed up. They're not going to buy that I have this. Why would it be scuffed up? You're not supposed to take it off. And I'm just going to say 70 gold or a walk towards that Red Wave walking toward us.
Just get it out of here. 70 gold, yes.
I scoop it into my bag. Actually, no
roll necessary. That was a really good tactic. Yeah, he's like, yeah, just get it out of here. And he quickly scoops the gold. And it's too late, though, guys. A whistle goes off, and you see the red wave that are hundreds of yards away suddenly pull these like brooms off their back and hop onto them and start flying toward you. And you hear the market people start going like, raid! And then now people are running every which way, and the nobles and tourists seem like they don't know what to do, and they're just like trying to take shelter in the cafes, as suddenly coming down upon you, these like samurai on these like flying brooms are like flying toward you at a rapid, rapid rate of speed. And of course, the penalty for buying a black market circlet is also death. And as these flying brooms speed toward you, the masked samurai pull their katana and close in on you. And when we come back next time, we'll have a big fight with samurai hobgoblins on flying brooms. Fish will be completely drunk. And who knows what the old man Grinson will be able to do in a situation like this. We're going to see all of our characters, what they do in a combat when we come back next time. This is Wicked Empire. Thank you to Ross Bryant, Claire Grant, Nora Ibrahim, and Sydney Emanuel. When we come back, a big battle. You guys ready for that? Are you scared?
Yeah.
Just a little.
I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready for violence.
Let's go. Violence you shall have. I'm really looking forward to a little of the old ultra violence. Thank you, Glass Cannon. Thank you, Naish. We'll be back with more Wicked Empire 5e very soon. Good night, everybody.